Wednesday, April 11th, 2007. Capricorn Cafe.
First beer of the night is in a can.
Three horse. Lager.
Three horses.
Three horses, oh.
Beretta. Established in 1628. This is a fine example of an imported lager beer, meaning it's a pilsner.
And beware.
Comes in this beautiful 16-ounce can. Want to tell us more about it? Can you find the propaganda on it? I'm not seeing any.
I'm not seeing anything in here.
Yeah. It's...
Oh. Distributed by Beer Brauwerge. De Drie Hof Eichers, Breda, Holland.
There we go. Okay. Yeah, so, Three Horses, imported lager beer. Yours look different than mine? Oh no, your hand's in the way. Okay. Well,
in terms of. I have a feeling it's going to taste like Pabst.
It's very clear. Very clear, yes. Very uriny.
Rice.
Very,
probably, or corn.
Huge head. It smells like a kegger.
It smells like.
Mmm. Oh, and it's warm, too, because we haven't had time to chill it. Yeah.
It tastes like water.
Mm-hmm. It tastes a little more like, bread. Like, Wonder Bread, kind of.
Yes!
Yeah, it's got that, that starchiness about it. Like, the instant enzyme conversion on your tongues.
Might as well just drink water. Why drink beer? Because
I have more than one tongue.
Yeah, you do.
yeah, but I mean, see, this is, look at this great lace. Oh yeah, and it's got
great
lots
lace
of
does not mean great beer, folks. Mm. That's for sure.
Well,
it tastes like a watered down Pabst.
Yeah, I'd say it's a good step below our American favorites. Of this particular style. I'm ready to throw this out and try in the next one.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Moving on.
Goodbye.
Next up.
Is it Asahi?
Asahi!
Asahi, super dry. The beer for all seasons.
Straight from Japan!
Asahi beer is brewed from selected ingredients using our pure cultured yeast and our advanced brewing techniques.
Advanced.
Mind advanced. Asahi beer has excellent richness, truly refreshing drinkability, and a satin smoothness. We'll see about that.
The beer for all seasons. It's a very beautiful silver can.
Oh, it's brewed by Molson in Canada.
Oh. Molson's like Budweiser.
Right.
For Canada.
Looks like we're in, well, we'll see.
But it has... Clearly, that's Japanese, right?
It's Japanese.
Okay, well, let's crack that motherfucker.
Here we go.
No spilling this time. All right, good. Oh, yeah. Excellent. Pale. Pale yellow in color. Oh, well, this one has... It has more golden notes to it. I'd say it's more straw. I don't know. Yeah, it's not much, but...
Very little lace.
It's very,
It's darker than the other one.
It's a little more, yeah.
Than the Three Horses.
A little less head, that's good, probably, though. And,
Smells terrible.
Smells a lot better. It smells more like, water unless, like, pee.
Can we say less flavorful than the one that we just had?
It's got a different kind of bubble.
Tastes like oatmeal.
Yeah.
It's got a
chapstick off. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oatmeal.
Significantly better, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this, I could actually, you know, like, consume this and not,
I like the
not vomp in my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the aftertaste.
It's a nice hat you got there.
Thanks.
Where'd you get it?
It's from Hop Nation.
Hop Union.
Hop Union.
Yeah.
There's this, yeah, well, you know where it came from.
I know where it came from.
Why don't you tell everyone where it came from?
Well, I was listening to my favorite podcast, which is also live streamed radio, called the Brewing Network Sunday Session. And they had a game called Spam or Not, where they read the title of an email, and you had to guess whether it's spam or not. And the first guy sucked, and I wasn't going to call in, but he sucked so bad that I had to call in. anyways, I did much better than he did, and they were amazed, and they gave me a hat. So there you go. That's it. Hop Union. Hopunion.com.
Hop Union, baby.
For all your hop needs.
Yes.
So yeah.
I like this one.
Little oatmeal. It's not bad. I'd say this is like, it's similar to Tecate.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, hey, it's summer. We're going to the beach.
Yeah.
We need something. This'll do.
I would, yes. I think this is much better than, I mean.
Yeah.
I'd buy this over that for sure.
Three horses. Yeah.
Blah.
Nah.
No.
But this one, yeah, I think we can finish this.
Excellent.
Ounce or two we have left here.
Yeah.
All right. Moving on. Any last comments?
No.
All right.
Perfect beer for the beach.
Perfect beer beach. Beach beer.
Beach beer.
Beach beer. All right. Now on to the glass pot. Okay. Next up, we have...
Spaten.
This is coming in a lovely green bottle.
And, all the way from Deutschland.
It's definitely imported. And I hear that this is I've never had it, but this is like a good gateway beer to real beer. But it's not good. Do you smell pot?
Whoa.
That was the first thing I smelled.
Hello, green bottle.
Now, as Anita's pouring these for me, so kindly. Wait, so did you just... Okay.
Sure. And
here. I'd just like to explain real briefly why you don't want to drink beer from green bottles. And kind of avoid it like the plague. Because...
No? Wow.
As... Oh, Anita's noticing an extreme lack of head.
It might as well... Wow.
When you get beer from overseas... And it's in a green bottle, you're going to pretty much expect it to be skunked. And skunked is the hops being light struck.
Smells like it's skunked.
It's a very vegetable-y, kind of cabbagey smell. And it's going to come from the green bottle because light can get through green glass much easier than it can brown glass. Brown glass is like a sunscreen, kind of. And you definitely don't want beer that comes out of a clear glass.
No.
Like
Corona.
Corona. Because that Corona comes with a permanent skunked case. I mean, light hits it in
a
minute.
Like,
it only takes 1 minute to get any skunking qualities. Like, it's real, real detectable kind of knife in my hand. kind of a feeling, you know?
Yeah.
Smell, taste, whatever. Yeah. Hey.
Whoa.
So,
no head.
Little to no head.
Very little lacing.
It's
smells like pot.
It smells like pot. And
or skunks.
It's clear, kind of golden, just like the last one. Very shiny. Very potty, definitely.
Oh.
Very reminiscent of Rolling Rock, everyone's favorite.
It's on the edges of my tongue. Staying on the
mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of a nice low carbonation. Carbonation?
Mm-hmm.
Carbonation. Dioxide. Okay, good. That's funny. Why don't they call it carboxidation?
Carbonized. Oh, because it's two.
Two, see.
Carbonized. All right, fine. I don't like it.
I don't know. It's America has a much higher CO2 tolerance than the rest of the world. Yeah. You know, European beers usually have a pretty low CO2, and when it's in a bottle, you kind of expect that because it's going to lose some in shipping.
It's just, to me, it tastes a little sour.
Oh, I didn't read any. There isn't any. It's no propaganda for this bottle. You just kind of
Spaten Premium.
You're supposed to know Spaten, and yeah, it's kind of bad. Kind of not though.
Original beer from Munich.
It definitely has no real taste, except for the vegetal kind of skunky taste.
Left and right side of your tongue skunking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it doesn't give much to your scent of your tongue.
Nothing.
It's a little hoppier. We'll give it that, I think.
Hop, yeah.
Yeah, it kind of has a bit of a bittery...
Yeah.
But I mean...
It's got a little bit of kick to it.
Yeah, it's been turned into what it is.
Blah.
Bad, but... I don't know. I think it's... I'd say it's better than the last two. Despite the skunking. Some people like skunk. Like...
Can't
it's just,
handle the skunk.
It's just part of their
I would
regiment.
Prefer the Asahi.
Asahi! Alright, well, let's wrap this one up and move on to the next.
The Rhine Heights Gebot, literally, purity requirement, sometimes called the German Purity Law or the Bavarian Purity Law in English, is a regulation that originated in the city of Ingolstadt, the Duchy of Bavaria. In 1516, although first put forward in 1487, concerning standards for the sale and composition of beer. In the original text, the only ingredients that could be used in the production of beer were 1. Water, 2. Barley, and 3. Hops. The law also set the price of beer at 1 to 2 pfennig per Maß.
That's a deal.
The Reinheitsgebot is no longer part of German law. It has been replaced by the Provisional German Beer Law, or the Vorlaufliches Deutsches Biergesetz, or the Provisional German Beer Law of 1993, which allows constituent components prohibited in the Reinheitsgebot, such as wheat malt and cane sugar, but no longer allows unmalted barley.
So the Weizensteiner, which is the beer we're drinking now. It's kind of an interesting color, according to the LCD
screen.
The
bottle's an interesting color.
Yeah, the bottle. It's not quite brown, it's not quite green, it's somewhere in between. It's odd. It's kind of cool. It's kind of a cool bottle. I don't know, I like it. It looks very German. Want to read us something from it in German, because you're so pro?
Let's see. Eine Königin unter den Bären. The best of the beer. It's obviously premium.
It's obviously, I mean,
you just cannot look at this bottle without knowing that they have excellence in brewing since 1753.
So, anyways, this is...
Nice coloring.
This was brewed in accord with the
German
very old...
German purity law.
Reinheitsgebot.
We're talking 1400s, everyone.
Motherfucker! So, not much head either, in traditional Bavarian style. I'm saying like half a finger of head, not nothing at all here. This one kind of matches the odd color of the bottle, kind of.
It does.
It's more of a green, kind of a gold.
What do you think about this kind of bottle, Andrew?
I think it's.
Have you ever seen anything like this before?
I've never seen that color in a bottle before.
Wow.
It's incredible.
Ah!
It's a freak of nature.
Ooh.
All right. Well.
Here we go.
Smells pretty bad. It smells like rice. Mmm. Yeah, not too bubbly.
Fruity.
Nice and skunked. Okay, good. Yeah. Not as skunked as the last one, though. It's definitely Yeah, something kind of fruity, something kind of malty going on there.
We're talking like maybe peaches or something? I don't know.
This one's hard to pick out. It's the malt that's making it kind of, there's a little tinge of sweet, but there's also something kind of a little bitter going on as well at the same time, and they're playing off one another in an interesting way. This beer, the Warsteiner, it's interesting. I kind of like it actually. It's it's a little light struck, yeah, but I mean, when you pull it off of the one and one only section of Trader Joe's, you're expecting a little bit of hit and run damage from the shipping. So
I don't have much to say about it other than the fact that it's sort of fruity.
Yeah. Nope, not much in the way of hops or bittering, really. It's just sort of
It's just sort of there,
yeah. It actually has kind of an alcohol taste. Do you know that? Just kind of in the background there. A little bit of an alcohol, like a fire kind of. I mean, nothing like liquor, but there's a little bit of something going on back there.
In a minute!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's real subtle. I like this one. It's complicated. Nothing like the other ones, which are just kind of like, hey, here's a beer.
Skunked and complicated.
Yeah, it's a little skunked. No, it's not that bad, though.
No.
You know, but, yeah. You know. Here's another tip for skunked things. Pull the beer out of the back of the case. Like, if back of the rack.
Oh, in order to prevent from like, buying skunked beer?
Yeah, because the lights that are striking them while they're sitting in the store, are those fluorescent lights are just killing it. So, like, pull out 2 6-packs, grab the one in the back where it's dark, and then take that one.
That, ladies and gentlemen, was Andrew Morgan's beer buying tips, number one.
I can finish this.
Take notice.
And I will.
Damn finish it.
I will.
I don't think I'm going to.
Your face. There we go.
It's done.
All right. I think we got 2 more styles, and we're kind of moving. We're coming full circle here. Looks like, where do we start? We started in...
Three Horse.
Or the fuck, Three Horse.
From Holland.
Holland, right? And then we went...
In a can.
We went over to Canada. And then we went to...
We went to Japan.
Munich.
Munich.
No, it's Munich. This is Canada. See, even though it has Japanese on it, it was clearly made.
Well, it's clearly made.
Product of Canada.
Yes, product of Canada got shipped to Japan.
And then we went to Warsteiner.
From Germany.
Bavaria, Germany somewhere. And now we're bringing it home to the USA. Wow, Nita, what do you got there?
We're back with Winterfest Dark Double Bock Lager. What do we have here?
So this motherfucker is straight up from Trader Joe's. And Trader Joe's went ahead and bought the rights to this beer from Gordon Biersch, which is an excellent national brewery. Does it say it on back there? Want to read us propaganda?
No, we're saying, inspired by the beers of Bavarian monks, brewed to lift their spirits during the long fast of Lent. Dark roasted Munich and caramel malts were wonders for hungry monks. Our Winterfest is sure to do the same for you. 7.5% alcohol by volume, 28 bitterness units.
So, not too bitter. Pretty alcoholic.
Yes.
Yeah, a lot of monks in Bavaria and Germany would drink beer during Lent when they were fasting and not eating a whole lot of anything. They would have they'd have one beer a day. They'd have one with lunch, and then the rest they'd recap it and have the rest with dinner. You know, it's got a lot of nutrients in the yeast. It's got, you know, substance in the barley, so it actually is something they could live off of. And you know, hell, if I was fasting for 40 days and I was a monk, so I couldn't have sex either, I would want a beer.
Damn. So, all right.
I think they agree.
So yeah. We're going. This is brewed and bottled by Trader Joe's Brewing Company in San Jose, California. Not too far away.
But, you know, really, we know for reals. Gordon Biersch.
For reals.
IRL, guys. So, this beer is,
Hi, beautiful.
It's a dark lager, right?
Yeah.
Dark what?
Dark, double dark.
Oh.
Bock lager.
Dark double.
Or dark double.
Dark double.
Excuse me.
So, it's a Bock, which is a type of lager.
Yeah, Bock.
And, it's almost brown, but
zero head.
I'm gonna, yeah, it has a very small quarter of head that it has. It's ruby colored, kind of amber, somewhere in between the two.
Yeah,
definitely. If you take it away from the light a little bit, it looks almost brown. Just at a quick glance, but yeah, looks good. So very little head. Nice lace.
Ooh!
This smells like something. Compared to the shit we've been drinking so far.
Caramel?
Yeah, caramel, exactly. Caramel malt, which is one of the sweetest.
Come to me.
Of the types.
Ooh.
Even the head has a
dessert
sort of
beer,
a...
beer, folks.
Yeah, that's what it smells like. The head has a kind of a brown tinge to it.
Oh, man.
Wow, really smelly.
This is fabulous.
Tell me.
It's like dessert in a glass.
Should put that on the label.
There's brown sugar sweetness all over your tongue.
Mm-hmm. Did it say it had brown sugar?
No, but it certainly tastes like it.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, super caramel malt.
Yeah.
Action going down here,
in
folks.
In a glass.
It is going down.
Uh-huh. This is one for sipping.
Yeah.
For everybody.
Yeah, you don't want to rush your way through a beer like this.
Wow.
It's definitely not a session beer. No drinking lots of these in one sitting, but...
No.
Really quite delicious, I think.
This is great.
Yeah.
And this is... wonder if you think... Well, I'm sure it's just seasonal. It's a Winterfest. Very, very holiday-ish.
Yeah, this would go... If we were to pair this with something... Vegetarian, of course, because who would eat meat?
Continue.
What would we pair it with?
I don't know.
This would go with,
mashed potatoes and green beans.
No, it wouldn't. It would taste terrible. I'm thinking, like, in terms of cheese, like,
caramelized onion.
Caramelized onion cheese?
English,
yeah, okay. I was thinking a little more cheese.
English cheddar.
Yeah, like, any kind of rotting cheese, any blue cheese of any kind.
Really?
Yeah, I'm thinking, like, really, like,
you're
that kind
of... You're on to this pairing thing. I've not done much of that.
Well, I mean... You have a palate, too. Come now.
Yeah. Well, I'm thinking English cheddar.
Mm.
Some type of soft English cheddar.
Mm.
With probably maybe some added peaches or blueberries or apple or pear, something like that.
This really has a good fusel alcohol kind of backdraft. Like
what's
when you blow it back out over your tongue. It's just like that alcohol-y taste that you get in beer. Because it's a 7 point whatever.
Smell
it's,
this thing while you drink it.
Yeah.
Like, when your nose is in the glass.
But do you get the alcohol kind of backdraft? Like, let it come back over your tongue. Like, take a sip, kind of blow some air over it, and then drink it down. Give it a little bit of oxidation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A tinge.
Do you feel death? Do you feel like dark abyss? I can offer you an escape 100 years before the mass.
From the dark Bock double dark lager.
Okay, I think we're going to actually enjoy the rest of this one, and we'll move on to our next. Any closing comments, lady?
Nice.
I need to know.
We're back with Basil ale.
Alright.
Again, fairly nondescript.
Yeah, pretty low on the trying to attract you to it. It's a pretty unattractive label. It's got a fat weasel on it with like a Hawaiian t-shirt and an ugly hat holding a pint.
Looks rather angry, actually.
Yeah, it does.
And bottled by Steinhaus Brewing Company, Paso Robles, California.
Paso Robles, yes. Gotta say it. Paso Robles.
Paso Robles, California? What are you talking about? I don't understand.
So, all these beers can be found at Trader Joe's, just to let you know, on a pretty regular basis.
Interesting color.
Bit more head than the previous European styles. Oh, who's pro? Who's pro? Yeah, it's perfectly clear. It actually resembles some of our lagers of prior. It's this nice bright gold, kind of terrible color. Got a bit of head. Ooh, yeah. That's hops, baby.
Hoppy.
That's what you are smelling. You smell hops.
Super hops.
Hops.
Super hop.
You hops. You smell the hops.
Who smell the hops?
Smell the hops. You can even see the alcohol on the bubbles. See how it's kind of rainbowy?
Ooh.
What was our EBV on this guy? Does it say?
EBV? Ain't got nothing.
Man. Oh, 7.1.
Oh, excuse me.
So, yeah. Alrighty. Hop smell.
Hop-o-rama.
It smells not so much like bittering hops, but very much, well, like
very
aroma.
Very fresh.
Hops. Yeah.
Like you just opened a bag.
It seems like it might have been dry hopped, or at least very late edition.
Can you tell the public what dry hop means? Because I don't know.
Oh, dry hopping is, because like you can, normally hops are added during the boil of the wort, into the big old bucket, and they get boiled like everything else. But dry hopping is in your primary fermenter when you pitch the yeast in, and things are you know, turning sugars into alcohols. You take a bag, like a tea bag, and fill it up with hops and, you know, strap it to the side and drop it into the wort. And so while the yeast are going out, yeah, you're just steeping a bag,
hops.
But you're not doing it in the boil, you know. And then when you're done, you take it out and the aroma is left behind. That's incidentally how you would
Therefore, this had been dry hopped, you say?
Do a pot hop beer. Because the boil would kill the THC, so you do a dry hopping of the marijuana.
There's such thing as pot hop beer?
You don't call it pot hop beer. You call it pot beer.
Pot beer?
Marijuana beer.
Wow.
Ganja brew. I haven't. I hear it tastes bad, though.
I mean, weed doesn't taste that great.
No, it doesn't.
It smells sort of nice sometimes.
Yeah,
anyway,
it's good
we're
aroma.
Not talking about marijuana beer.
But that's why you'd want to add it in dry hopping, because it would be an excellent
smell.
It's an aroma hop. This smells good. It smells like flowers. There you go.
Fruité.
Oh, yeah.
Complex.
This one's just all about the hoppish.
Party in my mouth.
This could join up with the Orgios and we could have a good old time.
Mm-hmm. That's intense. It's like all over the place.
Yeah, it's pretty complicated for sure.
Whoa. Don't let that sit in your mouth too long. Oof. It'll blow you away.
It's got a little bit of the I'm a Pilsner kind of taste to it.
Pilsner. What you talking about?
Even though it's an ale. It tastes a little,
but I'm really an ale.
Like it's cut with something, kind of like
almond cut!
Ricey oatsy kind of a thing.
No.
Going on.
Ricey oatsy.
But that's kind of underneath. It's not too present. It's just sort of in the beginning of the taste. Can I help you?
Just provide some layering. That's all.
Yeah, real nice, complicated
kind of many levels to the hoppiness.
Many levels. There's Can you go up 5 or 6 staircases, please? It made sense to
there's,
me.
There's a good, like, bitterness punch through in the middle, but it's not really about the bitterness. It's not like Red Rocket, where it's just like, I'm going to fuck you up the ass with bitterness. This is more of a dithering about your tongue, about the different types of aroma you can get from hops. I think this is a... I kind of wish... Hang on. I checked the Google. It doesn't tell me anything about the hops.
Nothing at all.
Some jackass said this beer was chalky. We disagree.
But... And they also mentioned egg whites. What was that?
Yeah, he said there was an egg white taste to it. Wait, if you taste egg whites in this... You need to die.
But they did say tropical fruit, and they did say chocolate.
I'm not getting the chocolate so much.
Me either. It's not...
Maybe more like...
I was seeing tropical
cocoa,
fruit.
Like cocoa, or, you know, like... Not like chocolate, but like pure...
Off the tree.
Off the tree, like you just pull it down and...
Put it in, yeah.
Yeah. Besides that, yeah, it's pretty bitter. Pretty delightful. Not fuck you up the ass, like we said before. Bitter, but...
Very complex.
Definitely worth a try, I think, to agree with Beer Advocate. Worth a try.
Worth a try.
Meh?
Meh. I was just not into that. The whole citrusy note.
Yeah, I think the best so far was the Gordon Biersch Winterfest.
Yes, yes, yes. The acidity was absolutely... It was too much. Moving on to an Irish stout. Organic, I may add.
Well, to be honest, it's not 100% organic.
It's all right.
Because we added the Warflock, which isn't organic. Sorry.
What's the Warflock?
It's a clarifying agent.
Oh, yeah.
And now that I think about it, it doesn't matter if you clarify a stout or not, because it's pitch black. Want to pour this and I'll talk about it?
Sure thing.
So this is a homebrew that Anita Julio and I made, and it's pretty delicious.
I haven't tried it yet.
It's an estimated ABV of... What are you... That was the worst pouring I've ever seen. Look at that. It's going to spill out all over the place.
No, it isn't. It's not going anywhere.
And,
quite.
It's an Irish stout. We called it Brave Mammal Irish Stout. If you want to see the label, it's pretty good. You can email me. CapricaCafe@gmail.com. And check it out. It's pretty cool. Though I didn't actually print it up because I'm a cheap bastard. And, I'm really busy, so... This one has less. You can have it.
Izzy.
Hey. Anita brought her bunny.
She's hopping around the room.
Hi, Fluffle. Want some beer?
Stay away from Ian's internet connection. Hey, come here. I want to try this out. There we go. That did that proper. Okay, so,
We're talking
pretty heady.
Super dark.
Pretty dark head, and the body of the beer is black. If I hold it up
it's
to a light...
It's an Irish stout, ladies and gentlemen.
It's black, and actually I don't see any tones on the side. Usually with a stout you can see a little bit of ruby tones on the edge of the glass as
beautiful
the light
foam.
Refracts or whatever.
Head.
Yeah, it's a seriously heady beer, and it lasts all the way through, which is another nice aspect of it. But yeah, nice low alcohol by volume, you know, it's a good, you couldn't really session this, but, you know, flavor, smell, super sweet,
woo!
Really sweet, probably too sweet.
Maybe.
It smells like, woo! Candy-ish in some way.
Molasses,
yeah, definitely.
Figs.
Kind of like, yeah, like what brown sugar tastes like, this smells like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Molasses-y.
It does have a bit
of a... Open a bottle of molasses.
Tinge to it.
And sniff.
Kind of a bittery tinge at the end, but...
And that's what this smells like.
Yeah, pretty much.
Black good lace, strap though. Molasses at that.
Really different from our last beer.
Whoa.
No hop presence.
That's good.
Really sugary.
I like it.
To be expected, I suppose, but...
Nice. Not too bitter. Total contrast to the Fat Ooh. Weasel Ale.
Yeah, it's getting a little hard to adjust my palate to that.
I mean, this is like, yeah, we're talking 180 degrees here.
For sure.
Yeah.
Maybe even 720.
Ooh.
What would this pair well with? In terms of food. What do you think? Ribs? I'm thinking ribs. Carl, fire up that barbecue.
Screw the vegetarian.
We need some ribs over here.
I don't know. I honestly, anything that I would eat.
I mean, it's got to be Grandma's birthday soon, so.
What would this go with? Vegetarian.
Lentils! I don't know. Nothing, really.
No. It needs meat.
It needs meat. This is definitely a meat beer. Yeah, I'm thinking like...
This is a meat and potatoes kind of beer.
Yeah, I'm thinking like a hamburger.
Yes.
Like a raw, like barely like cooked.
Medium rare.
I'm thinking like, you know, it thought about going on the grill and that's about it.
All right, let's grind it up and put it on a bun.
It's like, no, the cow isn't dead all the way, but let's grind it up anyways.
Bloody!
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I need something like that.
I had a teacher once said she liked her meat so rare that she'd chase it down in a field.
Doesn't surprise me. Anita's from North Carolina, in case you don't know.
She had a strange nose twitch as well. She was one of my favorite teachers. She was my English teacher. Thought I'd share that bit of
it. It was good. It was good. Thank you.
She had a... What was her name? Started with an H. Anyway.
All right.
Yeah, this is like, it's good though.
Well,
super sweet.
I think it's time to copy Craft Beer Radio, craftbeerradio.com. let's do our rankings now. Miss Anita Ann will rank first. So you're starting at the lowest or the highest?
We're starting at number 6.
Are there 6?
Number 6 three. Being the 3.
There's actually 7.
Well, number 7, excuse me. Being number 7 being the Three Horses. No. Spaten at number 6. Fat Weasel Ale with its highly citrusy notes at number 5. Wartsteiner and its strangely colored glass at number 4. Asahi, the one that tastes like Paps, but made in Canada. For Japan, mind you.
Sold in America.
At number 3, Trader Joe's.
Walmart.
We're looking at Andrew, Anita's, and Julio's Irish Stout. Brave Mammal Irish Stout. 99% organic. At number 2. And Anita Ann's number 1 ranking is the Winterfest, the dark double Bock lager from Trader Joe's, brewed in San Jose. Yeah. Yeah, we love it. It's like dessert in a glass.
Well,
Andrew will now...
You know, not too different.
Top 7.
I'm going to say at number 7, the bottom of the list, Three Horses. Oh, yeah. It's not even good enough to finish when we're sober. And pulling up at number 6 is the Japanese beer. Ah, see! It's not good. It's not really that good. It doesn't really taste like much.
Goodbye.
Are you going somewhere?
No. All right. I'm talking about the beer.
I'm going to say number 5, Fat Weasel. You know, it was good, but it had some character flaws that well, were irredeemable.
Pulling up
the number four was the Spottin'. I thought it was pretty good. You know, I guess in my ranking I'm kind of overlooking the skunkness, knowing that it's not really
major skunkness.
Not really.
Excuse you.
Not really an aspect of the beer that the brewers intended, and they're just, it's not their fault that their marketing people put the bottles to be green. You know, that's not the brewer's fault. So number three, the Wardsteiner. I like the complexity of it, even though, again, it was a little skunked. I looked past that, and it was a good, nice, complicated beer.
Brewed according to the German purity law.
You know, for some reason, I rank my homebrew second, but really, I think it would probably go about here, actually. I think my homebrew would be third. So Spottin is fourth. So Spottin is third. The Wardsteiner is second, and I'd say number one was Winterfest. So, you know, outsides.
Way to go, Winterfest.
But I didn't really like our homebrew. I thought it was pretty gross, actually. But it needs some time.
It needs time, folks. That's just the way it is.
And now,
something that's not beer at all. It's called hard cider.
All right.
The apple cider is sitting on the red chest.
Yes, it is. And where is the bottle cap, Anita? It's sitting on the brown table.
No, it isn't. Oh, the bottle cap.
Whoa. Okay.
Moving on.
Lastly in our lineup.
Hard cider.
Here's what I did. Went down to Trader Joe's, got myself some unfiltered Gravestein apple, 1 gallon of, in a glass, apple.
One gallon juice. Of apple juice in a glass container.
And then I marched my body down to the homebrew shop and said, I'm doing this.
Trudged down to the homebrew shop. That's what I remember you describing to me on the phone conversation.
And I'm like, excuse me, bitch. Give me champagne yeast, and I use champagne yeast, and I brought it home.
Is it the
I opened up the bottle, sanitized some shit, and pitched in the champagne yeast.
And a week and a half later.
A week? It's been a week.
Okay, a week later, 7 days.
Later. Here we are. So, it looks like apple juice.
No head.
No.
At all.
It's still cider.
Just a little fermented.
Because I didn't carbonate it.
Nice look.
It looks like apple juice, but kind of foggy.
Really foggy. Obviously.
I don't really know what else to say. It smells like, here, smell it. Did you smell that? Yeah, it smells good, huh? It smells like wine cellar.
Major wine cellar.
Like oak barrel, but kind of astringent and
very and
bad.
Sour.
Mmm.
Tastes like lemon juice.
Lemon juice.
2/3 lemon juice and 1/3 apple juice.
And ABC bubble gum mixed in.
Okay. Yeah. Needs more time. Needs to be cut with something like cranberry juice or something like filtered apple juice. Something that's a little bit sweeter. I think it's obviously feeding off of the unfiltered apple juice.
Yeah. All the sites say it takes a couple months, if not a couple years, to really do cider proper justice. But my brother said it took a week. And damn it, I'll listen to my brother.
So we tried it.
But his cider tastes better than mine. So I don't know what to say.
How is this?
Better. It tasted better.
Just better?
Yeah, it tasted better. Like a bunny.
Bunnies don't taste that good.
Bunny Supreme. So cider's not too good.
Bunny's in the corner.
But, you know, I would suggest it.
Bunny. Hey. Nope.
Hell, it's better than Pabst.
Much. Yeah. Drink this over Pabst any day.
And I have no idea what the ABV is.
What is the ABV? Oh, the alcohol.
Mm. So now, Anita and I are going to watch Battlestar Galactica. But
yeah.
I hope you and your best have a wonderful day / night / morning. And yeah.
May peace be with you.
Thanks for listening.
Enjoy your beer.
So as we finish up these beers, we thought you'd include us in our off conversation. This, we don't know the mic's on. The mic's not on. Don't worry.
Okay. All right. What does lager mean? I realize that I have no idea what a lager is.
It means...
Because this is so different than the other lagers that we've had.
In terms of what I know about beer, it means two things. It's a different kind of yeast... Mm-hmm. Than an ale yeast, and it's a different way of fermenting. So the first thing is, lots of different kinds of yeast. There's wine yeast, champagne yeast, sake yeast, and then there's two kinds of beer yeast. There's ale yeast and lager yeast, and there's mm-hmm. tons of kinds, you know, hundreds.
Right.
An ale yeast, which is what kind of the typical... style that's outside of Germany, especially in the Americas. Well, I mean, except for the Germans who were in America.
German Americans.
Basically, like it's a yeast that ferments at room temperature.
Ah, lager equals yeast that ferments at room temperature.
Ale yeast.
Ale equals. Okay, sorry.
And ales are typically dark. Heavier in alcohol, have more flavor.
So this is sort of contradictory.
And so this is interesting because it's called
a lager.
Double, but you can have ales that look like lagers and lagers that look like ales. It's not.
We're not boxed in here, folks.
It's a rule of thumb. And you know what the rule of thumb interestingly means?
Yes.
Do you know the origin of that?
No.
Is it was some rule back in the day somewhere? I don't know. I don't really know. Where you couldn't beat your wife with a stick that's any wider than your thumb.
Oh, that was nice of them.
Yeah. It's a good rule. It's a good rule. You couldn't use, like, a whole tree.
Oh, let's not use a 2x4.
No. Yeah, see. Gotta... All things in moderation. Yeah. Right?
Balance, everyone. Mm-hmm. Balance.
But, and then in a lager yeast, you have to keep it at this rather specific lower temperature. It's somewhere between, like, 0 and 6, we'll say. Usually 0 and 4. I'm going to translate that. 32 and 40.
He's a calculator, folks.
I don't know. I don't really know what the Fahrenheit is, but yeah, just like freezing or right above. Because it's not water, it's not going to freeze when it's at freezing temperature, so, you know, it has a higher specific gravity than water, which makes, you know, the dissolved solids keep it from... I mean, beer, wort, specifically, has a higher... Mm-hmm. Lower.
Lower.
Freezing point.
Ah.
Because it's water with things in its solution. Anyways, what? What are we talking about? Oh.
We're talking about lagers.
Right. So, yeah, this style... basically, fermented, when it sits in that bucket, you put, like, in a little refrigerator or something, if you got it, mm-hmm. or just in a pool of water or something. Just keep cool. Keep cool. Put some ice in there.
Keep cool.
One time, Shane and I made a honey wheat lager.
Really?
Delicious.
Ooh!
Yeah, real good.
Honey wheat.
That was a good one.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's basic difference. Also, they say... Yeah, they say top fermenting yeast and bottom fermenting yeast. Ales, supposedly, I think, are the top ones. Mm-hmm. Lagers are the bottom. I don't know what that means. It doesn't mean
anything. Lager's the bottom, folks.
Lager is the proverbial bitch. Which is why I really don't like lagers, because, you know, ales are always on top. There you go.
Caprica Cafe.